Welcome. Ray and Kay today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Kay today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Ray,
and they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. You want to join the show, give us a call, 718-664-9098. Ray, let's jump right into it. NBA Finals talk, I got to ask you a question. Everybody went crazy last night. Is this, I want to do a new edition, is this the end? Are the Heat done? Is it over? It's that simple. Is it over?
They might be. And we'll get to World Cup in a minute because it's not good to
Definitely.
Be a champ right now. the defending champs in World Cup got beat down 5-1. Spain.
Crazy, yeah.
So as defending champs, the Heat have heart. The Heat have been through a lot, but no other team has come back from down 3-1 out of 31 series. So, yes, the Heat are done.
Yeah.
They may win game five, but I think they're done.
It might be an accomplishment, you could say, if they can even force it to game seven, which would have us to next Friday night, a week from today. You know, there's so many things. I've been going crazy about not playing Haslam when they finally put him in the second half. The first minute the guy's in the game, he, you know, gets a basket, an offensive rebound. The Heat front line had 12 rebounds to, like, the Spurs, like, 20-something or 30-something, you know. I think when you start off the game and you have the Spurs get all these second, you know, offensive rebounds, second chance shots and opportunities, and, you know, constantly sort of wear the team out. When you have LeBron playing the four and Bosh the five, it just puts extra pressure on the team, and I think it does affect their spacing. And I don't care if you start Birdman or Haslam, but in this series, I'm glad Battier played. You know, it's not like he was great, but, you know, he can help a little bit defensively, maybe spacing. But Haslam has to play, and I think Spoelstra has made a huge mistake in this series because the Spurs are too big. You know, they really are too big. And even though people say, you know, the last two games,
DL's
really been starting.
Playing big. I mean, they're not playing Splitter and Duncan together. They're playing one of them at the five and then somebody else at the four, whether it's
right.
Diaw or
Bonner off the bench.
They're actually not that big in traditional sense. They're playing big. They're all rebounding. Look,
you know what it is? Bosh can't match up with Duncan. And Bosh, let's be honest, Bosh is a skinny four. He's not even a big four. So
now
when you have
Bosh, he's relegated to being a 10-foot, you know, 10-15-foot jump shooter.
It's really bad. And also, let's be honest, because we've talked about this with all the rumors of Melo going down there. It's not even just having a big four with a Melo, and let's say you replace him for Lewis. They need a point guard. They're rolling with Cole and Chalmers, who are playing like two backups. And they are probably two backups. I don't think Chalmers will ever start an NBA point guard again. And they don't have a legit center. And having Bosh at center, I think, is a liability. He has to play the four. LeBron play the three. They're natural positions. And last night, the Spurs, let's be honest, Kawhi Leonard was the best player on the court. I mean, what did he wind up with, like 2014, 3-3-3? The kid is incredible. Kudos to him. Popovich is pushing all the right buttons. Tony Parker, I got to say it, he's the best point guard in the NBA now. And it's not just stats. It's how he affects the game. The kid is incredible. And that was a whooping.
Yeah.
Two road wins in a row for
the
Spurs.
But here's the thing. Again, remember we talked about this. Fights are determined by matchups and styles, right? So I thought OKC could beat San Antonio, and I thought San Antonio could beat Miami. So everything you said is true, except Miami's probably the only matchup that this would have happened to them was against San Antonio. So if it was other than San Antonio, they would have won an NBA championship against any other team. So that's where you say to yourself, they've got these flaws, but they've known about these flaws for 4 years. They've got this weak point guard situation. They've got no height. They've got no interior defense. And yet, let's say they lose this series. They'll still go 2-2 in NBA finals in the Big Four era. And one of them was just a, I don't know what happened. They should have won that series against Dallas. And then one of them, they got beaten by a team that not only wanted to win an NBA championship, but wanted to go through Miami. So, you know, they're better than
28
other teams.
No, I'm not saying 2-2 is bad, right? Right, right. 2-2 is great. Let's not, you know, beat up on LeBron. It's, you know, Magic was 5-4, Jordan 6-0, whatever. You know, 2-2 is nothing to, you know, shy away from, and four, you know, first team since the Celtics, four finals in a row, yada, yada, yada. But they were going for something special. They're going for a three-peat. He's gunning for Jordan. He's not Jordan, whatever. All these things are playing themselves out, how they're going to play themselves out. But to me, I just think it's almost an arrogance because they could have made a move before the deadline. They did bring in Beasley and Odom. They don't play them. They, you know, maybe should have tried to play Tony Douglas earlier. I'm not saying he's better than Cole or Chalmers. He might be, but we don't know. He didn't play that much. But the problem is there's a bit of, I feel like in the Pacers series and the Spurs series, I feel like they just give away game one. I feel like it's a weird pattern that's developed with this team, and they've done it multiple times, where they're kind of like, oh, you know, I don't know if they're not giving 110% effort because game two was so impressive, but it's these look, coaching strategies don't get adjusted properly. I don't know.
All I can say is there's a reason why there's only been two teams in NBA, or I guess it's three teams in NBA history that have ever three-peated. It's really, really difficult to win one. It's super difficult to win two in a row. And three in a row, especially in the era of free agency, is virtually impossible.
Impossible,
Look, the Heat haven't lost yet, but we both think they will eventually, in five, in six, maybe in seven, but chances are 95%.
They have to show some pride, though, Ray. Let's be honest. They've got to show some pride and go win in San Antonio. You got to. You can't
capable of doing. If it weren't for LeBron in game one, they could have won game one. They did win game two, so they could be 2-0 in San Antonio. So San Antonio is not invincible and is not unbeatable at home. So it's definitely possible.
What's the biggest adjustment, change? What is the biggest thing for game five that the Heat have to do to beat the Spurs? I mean, it's more than just play, you know, rebound and play better defense. But like, give me an adjustment, something different. I've got to do something.
You know what I would do? As crazy as it sounds, I think you play more players. You do a shorter rotation. You play more players, and you just say, "Look, we're going 10 deep. Tony Douglas is going to play. Rashard Lewis is going to play. Birdman, Haslam, Battier, everybody's playing. I'm going to play." Short, like, it's almost like the hockey mentality. 45-second, I mean, they're not going to do 45-second shifts, right? But you're going to go out there, and you're going to play for 3-4 minutes at a time, and that's it. Just go 100%. I need you first and foremost on the defensive end, because this is ridiculous that in all but two quarters, the San Antonio
they're not making the rotation.
Scored 25 points. In all but two quarters, 25 points, that means you're averaging 100. And remember, in the NBA Finals, this is when the game slows down. This is when the game gets more deliberate. There are NBA Finals games that are in the 70s, in the 80s, and San Antonio is scoring 25 points every quarter. So I tell them, everybody...
And their field goal percentage is ridiculous.
You start with defense. You start with playing your man, rotating, and then you give me that energy, and then you try and create turnovers and create offense. So what, the one thing I would do is play more guys, shorter minutes, shorter spurts, and just say, go all out for me. Put it all on the line, game five.
I agree with that. I think for me, I would – you're right. I give Douglas a shot. I actually start Haslam and let him wrestle with Duncan and not Bosch. so Bosch can focus more on the offensive end, because I feel like the Heat's offense is broken. They're not sharing the ball. They're not cutting. They don't do pick and rolls. I mean, you know, we can't put LeBron and Bosch in a pick and roll. We can't put LeBron and Wade in a pick and roll. I think they've got to change a bunch of things. And, yeah, definitely, you know, play more players, play the roster. I would throw Beasley out there, see if he can score. Maybe he might be a defensive liability, but I know he can put the ball in the bucket. He can give me 6 minutes. You got to try different things. I also think there's got to be a little bit more of potentially LeBron on Parker. And if you do that, then maybe you have LeBron really starting at the point guard. And then, you know, play, you know, Allen, Wade, Haslam, Bosch with them, try different rotations. But I like sometimes that it's harder for Parker to just go all over the court. He's getting by Chalmers and Cole so quickly, and I was explaining to my son Elijah last night. He penetrates, gets by them, then they have to drop down. He kicks it out to, you know, let's say Diaw. Then Diaw's great passer. He doesn't shoot it. He swings it out to Green. And then, you know, it's the third pass. And then Green's got the open three, and then boom, and nobody can get to him. And, you know, last night in the first quarter, the Spurs missed three, like, wide-open shots that if they would have hit, you know, with no contest, you know, it would have been more of a spanking. So, I mean, this happens, and their rotations have been bad. And sometimes it's LeBron. We got to, you know, knock him a little bit. Sometimes, you know, and I think Van Gundy pointed it out, LeBron's got to get out there. He didn't rotate a couple times. So, I hate to see this end this way, because, you know, we're also basketball fans. We're not just going to, you know, talk about it and be analysts. As a fan, you want to see seven games. You want to see a competitive series. And I don't know if I want to just see the big three go 2-2 and go out like this. But props to the big four now with Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs and what they're doing and Popovich. And I think sometimes we say what's wrong with the Heat, but we also got to give props to the Spurs. And I got to ask you this question.
Yeah, let me
is this
let
the
me,
deepest,
let me jump in there.
Deepest team? Is this the deepest NBA team in, I don't know, last 15, 20 years, the Spurs, this roster?
It might be. And I got to tell you something. It doesn't matter who the Spurs played the last two games. They would have beaten Laker teams. They would have beaten Bulls teams. They would have
shooting
beaten
like
the
that.
60 Celtics teams. Those were virtually unbeatable performances by the Spurs. So even though Miami didn't play, it was the perfect storm. That's the thing. Miami has fundamental weaknesses. They played poorly on defense, and San Antonio played out of their mind on offense. So that was the perfect storm, but San Antonio is winning against anybody in games 3 and 4. Now, are they the best, deepest team? They might just be, because think about guys that may not get burned. I mean, think about Marco Bellinelli. I mean, he should start or be the sixth man on any team in the NBA, and he's number 9 or 10.
And he's like 7 or 8 on their team.
Well, not even.
Seven, eight, or nine. Think about it.
Right? Splitter comes off number one if you start DL, right, for size. Patty Mills, obviously Ginobili's a starter, even though he's like the sixth starter. So you've got those three next in the rotation, Anthony Bonner, and then they got the big men. This team is really deep.
They're really deep.
They are unbelievable.
Give them credit, though, right? Danny Green was cut from their team, cut from the Cleveland Cavs, you know, a Tar Heel. Patty Mills, we talked about his story in one of our segments on a couple shows back, right, with his Australia and being cut from the Spurs, didn't play but a couple minutes in the finals last year. I mean, these are, you know, Diaw's bounced around, Charlotte and Phoenix, whatever. He's been a good player, but, you know, he's a little bit older. I mean, these, and they trade for Leonard. This is great general, you know, GMing and ownership and Pop and the system.
Do the Heat have a system?
Does the Heat really have a system?
The Heat have three phenomenal players, have a defensive-minded philosophy, and
if they don't cause turnovers and get steals, what do they do?
They would have beaten 28 other teams. So here's the ironic part: if Ibaka were healthy,
it's
possible that the Spurs could have lost, and we would have never even seen the Spurs, and the Heat would have beaten. I have no doubt in my mind that he would have beaten Oklahoma City. So, you know, matchups make fights. This is just a bad matchup right now for the Heat. But, yeah, give San Antonio a lot of credit. I mean, as badly as the Heat are playing, and you can – this is more of San Antonio just playing excellent basketball than it is about Miami playing badly.
Do they just not have any answers? Losing Mike Miller and then aging defensively, even though Wade is healthier, he doesn't have the same lift. Are they, in 1 year, are they that much worse of a defensive team?
No, it's just that this San Antonio team is just a world-class juggernaut on offense especially. And it's the one
But they weren't
team
that last year? This is the same team, basically,
no,
for the Spurs,
not
except for Bellinelli and Patty Mills?
Bellinelli and Mills make a big difference, right? And Ginobili's healthy. Remember, Ginobili had a bad series.
He wasn't as healthy last year.
And he wasn't as healthy. So the fact that they're hungrier, the fact that they have two even better offensive players coming back the next year, and that Ginobili, they're just unbelievable. This is the only team that could tear the Heat apart like this. I think the Heat would have beat any other 28 other teams and won a championship.
Well, and I think the perfect thing is that where the Heat are weak could be their two best players in Parker and Duncan. And I think we've got to salute Duncan for two things. Number one, he's the all-time leader in playoff minutes, passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And I believe with the double-double again last night, he either tied or passed Magic Johnson with the most double-doubles at 158. I mean, come on, this guy, I mean, we did our last year during the playoffs. We did our top 15 in NBA history, and I asked you a couple weeks ago, and I think we might have to revisit that. If with this final and this win, Duncan has five. He enters with, Kobe and Magic. Does he move up? And he might need to move up, because I got to tell you, Duncan has been better than good.
So it's a great question, and it's rare air to have five championships. So of the
Definitely.
Of the people on that top 10 list, obviously Michael has six, Bill Russell has 11. Kareem has six, Magic has five, Kobe has five. And that's it. Oh, there's obviously a bunch
and
of
Chamberlain,
Celtics
yeah, Chamberlain
have
doesn't
lot,
have
but,
that much, but he's
but of
a
those,
supreme
Chamberlain
player.
Has two.
Yeah.
So of those guys, and if you believe like we both do that championships mean a heck of a lot, and it's more than tie goes to the runner. I mean, it's all about championships. That's why when LeBron, if LeBron were to lose this, and he's got three losses in the NBA Finals, he can never be compared to Michael Jordan. Even if he wins six, if you go 6-3, you can't be compared to Michael Jordan. So
no.
So in terms of Jimmy,
And that's okay. Like LeBron,
and that's okay.
It's not a bad thing
to be the second best, the third best, the fifth best, the eighth best player in NBA history. You're still an unbelievable, legendary player.
Duncan is not as dominant as Shaq, but when
you
think about
that's the issue.
Yeah, Shaq, Olajuwon, longevity.
But
five.
Jimmy
best
dominate.
Power forward ever. He's
best power forward ever, yeah. We gave him that about 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah. That's even Barkley says that every night. He's definitely in the top 10. I'll say that about Duncan. I got to put him in the top 10. However that works out.
It's so hard to – once you're in the top 10, it's so hard to move up. You know what I mean? But time will tell.
Now, I'll tell you this. You want to improve your history and your legend and really have something impressive? LeBron, go do what no one has done before. Win three in a row and beat the Spurs game seven. Beat the Spurs game seven in San Antonio and go get you your three-peat. If he does that, Ray, I get chills just thinking about it. If he could ever do that, wow. That's all I could say. And it's hanging out there for a kid. You know what I mean? He's got to stop over-dribbling. He's got to, they've got to have more offensive flow. They're not sharing the ball. Ray's got to step up. They got to get Bosh shots early. When Bosh is involved, they're a much better team. Much better team. And then throw Haslam out there so Bosh doesn't have to bang with Duncan. Oh, gosh, I'm telling you. Spoelstra, he's got a little Van Gundy in him. The Knicks would win in spite of Van Gundy. I'm sorry, and this is what happened with Spoelstra. It's pissing me off, man. You know, you gotta give these guys some help. You gotta give them some help. I got a Spurs fan calling in here. So let's
Spurs
see.
Fan. Let's put him on the air.
I don't know.
You on the air with Ray and Tay?
Hello.
Are you grinning or gloating? Which one is it?
You know what? I got a new song now, but I don't think you want to hear it. It goes,
Oren from D.C., he's told us straight up the Spurs would do this. I got to ask you, what – in the dominance of the last two games that we've seen from the Spurs in Miami, two questions. Could they have done this against a Jordan Pippen Bulls? And is it over in game five?
The second part of the question, I think it's a wrap in game five. I think Popovich, I was shocked. I thought that he was going to win yesterday. And when they beat him down like that, it just showed me that Popovich basically is saying, no holds barred. Let's not make this longer than it has to be. Mm-hmm. I think it's over in San Antonio. But, again, I don't – you know what? I think if they played the Bulls, I can't even – you know, it's hard to say. I can't even call it. I mean, these guys are shooting historical record-breaking field goal percentage numbers. And the way they're passing the ball – who could beat them at this point? You know, when you're shooting 90% and you miss a couple of shots to go down to 76%. The other first game they're shooting like 70 or so, close to 80% in the fourth quarter. I mean, these guys are balling right now.
It's impressive.
There's nothing you can say about whoever's on the Heat. I'm not even saying it's nobody's fault, but just that they're up against a better team. Period.
Okay, but let me ask you this, right? That's fair, and I accept it, right? But when you say that, that then almost disregards the fact that there could be better rotations, there could be better rebounding, there could be better defense, there could be better offense from the opposition. And so if you maybe, you know, have Bosch play four and bring in and start either, you know, not Lewis, because he can't do anything. He didn't even grab a rebound. You know, you start a Haslam or a Birdman and let them bang with Duncan and let Bosch play Diaw and play the four. That frees him up. That changes your offensive flow. It changes potentially your offensive rebounds, which they were getting none of. Then, you know, maybe, I don't know, you can't, you know, trade for a point guard now, but maybe you don't start a point guard. I think maybe LeBron should play point and stick Parker. Stop his penetration. Then they don't, you know, have to drop down and they don't get the extra kick-out pass to Diaw, then swing it to Green for the wide-open three. You know, things can be changed. Don't think that they can't.
I think they've thrown the kitchen sink at him already. And I say this, the Heat have never been a strong rebounding team, one. So you can't change that dynamic just right now in the finals, right? Two,
but Haslam can rebound.
They're not deep on, they don't have a deep bench, and that's what's killing them. It's not so much that their starters can't hold their own, is they have to sit down and get a breather. And he's just sending them out there like they're robots out there.
And they're exhausted. And so if you look at Popovich, he was just telling his team, let's go, keep pushing, keep the tempo.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen in an NBA Finals this many people on one side of the on one team be exhausted.
But
it's a lack of him even trying to play his bench. You're going to be exhausted if you don't get a break and you don't even try to play your bench. He plays Battier finally instead of James Jones, which he should have done, you know, game one on. Haslam has only played, not at all in this series, 2 minutes the last game and then just 10 this game. He should have been playing him. Maybe you try, like I said, from after game one, Odin, Beasley. You know, to say that they don't have a bench, if you don't give the guys the opportunity to shine, it's almost unfair.
I agree with you.
Let's see them fail.
At this point, though, I mean, you're talking about throwing people who haven't had any rotation in the regular season, throwing them in the finals. I think that it's probably more of a distraction, and it can lead to a worse consequence because even though they're professional players, they're not in game. They're not in this game mode where everybody else is. And you're talking about throwing somebody out there who is not battle tested. He gets the ball, they're a little tentative because he hasn't been out there. Give it up to San Antonio. They are up in their face. Look what Popovich did to Danny Green. Now, that was a great defensive play to me. He ran over him and got in his face. Got in his face. And Danny Green wasn't playing bad.
By Allen?
Yeah.
Danny Green's been playing great. You know what's so funny to me? The next three have been better than the big three. Green, Diallo, and Leonard. I mean, Leonard, let's be honest, offensively and defensively, all-around game, he was the best player on the court last night.
Yeah, let me ask you both. If the series were to end in Game 5, we don't know the outcome, but let's say, who's the MVP of the series?
That's a tough one. Oof. I think it's between Diallo and Leonard. Because even though Leonard has more points, I think arguably Diallo has been the worst, has been the biggest X factor because what he brings to the table, they can't. They have nothing for it. They have nothing for it, you know.
And he does everything. He gets offensive rebounds, steals, assists. He's not scoring tremendously, but his game has just been, you know. I got to give this guy all the props in the world. But let me ask you this: do we have to give a little knock if you don't knock Spoelstra? Do you knock Riley and the Heat, maybe their arrogance for not changing the roster before the deadline to get a big guy, to get a real point guard, to get, I mean, to make moves?
I think
could have tried something.
Because he gave him the pieces. He gave him Beasley. He gave him Odin. It's up to the coach now to use the pieces. He's not using his whole toolbox, and he never used it. And now, if you throw them all out there now, it's like it's a little bit too little too late. It should have been in there from game one. You knew you were coming up against a tall team, period. I don't know why Beasley was never inserted at all. That makes no sense to me. Beasley can ball. But
yeah, he can ball. We've seen him have very productive games in the NBA.
There was debate whether you should take him over Derrick Rose coming out. I mean, this guy was a superstar coming out of K-State.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's nothing else. You know he can score. I don't know. You know, right now, I got to tell you, this could be over, but I got to believe that there's got to be enough ego, skill, and talent in the big three that they can go ahead, block out everything, and go win one in San Antonio. Their backs are up against the wall. They're up against facing history and trying to make history. If they take it one game at a time, they could do something amazing and special. It's in them. I think Wade's healthy enough. It's in them. They just have to totally change everything and play more guys.
I think 3 can't beat 10, bro.
I know that's right.
3 can't beat 10.
Oh, man. I tell you. Listen. Listen, right, you know, we got to talk about the World Cup because, you know, this looks like Spain is taking a beating. Brazil wins yesterday. Mexico gets a win earlier. So, all right. Oh, so put it on the record, man. We got to let you go. It's over. It's over on Sunday night.
Yeah, it'll be a nice Father's Day present.
Yeah, man. Well, listen.
Antonio.
Yeah, definitely. Well, happy Father's Day, and I'll say if it is over, Kawhi Leonard gets MVP. I say
got
the Heat
you.
Are going to win,
brother.
Though. All right, man.
Right,
take
they
care, man.
Enjoy
your
weekend.
All right,
guys. Have a good weekend.
All right.
Bye later.
Be good.
Thanks for calling. So, as we say goodbye to the NBA, okay, look, Julius Randle, they're saying there's foot issues. He comes out and is like, look, I had a foot injury. I'm fine. I don't know where these guys are coming from, you know, at the draft combine. Some people tested it and said it could show up to be a problem. We'll see. I guess you just have to let it play out, right? I mean, if he says he has no pain and whatever, it's not a problem. And then some people feel like, look, it's going to be a problem. And you know feet, they've crippled how many players in NBA history? A ton.
Yeah.
So,
I hate it that it happens to a young kid like this. Because who knows what happened his senior year when he had the surgery. He just looks like a really talented, young, humble kid. So I wish all the best for Randle.
Yeah.
And I hope he proves
maybe
all
he drops.
Maybe
instead
he
of being a top five pick, maybe he goes to – would you like him at 8 at Sacramento with DeMarcus Cousins? Not bad.
Maybe he drops at 11 to Philly. Could you imagine if they could come out of here with –
listen,
with
the Lakers or Kings would take him at 7
Randle?
Or 8. Oh God.
Wiggins and Randall, or Jabari Parker and Randall.
That would be the steal of the century. The Sixers would just love it. They're probably like leaking the reports. They're like, hey,
exactly.
Jeff Goodman, write this.
Don't put it ahead of anybody, right?
So, hey, before we get to the World Cup, let's just knock out the U.S. Open real quick. Everybody wants Phil Mickelson to win. What is it? It looks like Martin Kaymer is in the lead.
Yeah, he's
minus 10. Wow.
Minus 10, running away with the field, right? Kevin Na is at minus 4. Brant Snedeker's at minus 3. A whole bunch of cats are at minus 3. Matt Kuchar,
yeah.
Brendan Todd, and Hideki Matsuyama. So, Martin Kaymer. By 6 strokes at the halfway point.
That's
looking pretty
good. I'd like to see if Dustin Johnson can make a run. You know, he's tied too, or he's at minus 2. But, yeah, this is pretty dominant. I mean, minus 10, gosh, 6-stroke lead. That's pretty impressive. And then what's the latest? Did Spain lose in the World Cup today
to
the Netherlands?
So,
oof.
Just like the defending champs, Miami Heat, are reeling.
And this is Ray's pick?
Ray's
pick
down. So put this in perspective. People don't know, but put this in perspective. This Spanish team might be the best team ever in terms of the last 4 to 6 years of international play. They have two depth.
Yeah, and they've got five of the top 30 players.
International play in the last
5-1.
I think it's like 122 matches.
This is huge for the Netherlands.
This was the championship game last World Cup in South Africa. They won 1-0 above, you know, ahead of the Netherlands. The Netherlands got a little conservative and ended up not really playing, you know, Holland type of ball. So they won 5-1. They scored the first goal, Spain did, and then the Netherlands scored 5 unanswered. So they got absolutely.
This is shocking, the World Cup world.
This is shocking. In terms of World Cup, this is just shocking. It's one thing to lose 2-1. It's another thing to lose 5-1. Not only that, but what makes it worse for somebody like me who picked Spain to win it all is now it's very, very unlikely that it's very, very unlikely that they'll get out of the bracket. So that means they'll have to go through. They'll get out of the winner's bracket. So they'll have to go through
the
runner-up bracket,
yeah.
Which makes life a lot more difficult. So as if you went through the winner's bracket, Spain, I had predicted them to go all the way, you know, up to go through Croatia, England, and then Argentina and meet Brazil. But now, if they're in the loser's bracket, so they've got a much, much tougher road. So immediately,
this is gonna be fascinating,
they would
yeah.
have to play Brazil. In the next round, if they're the runner-up in Group B and Brazil wins Group A, which everybody expects,
which could
be
a classic early matchup,
Brazil,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the round of 16. How crazy is that? So they would now, given this loss, they'd probably be a big underdog. So their World Cup chances are hanging by a thread after one game.
Right. And then later on, what's the other matchup we have? Is it Chile against Australia?
Yeah, today there's a third match today, right? Yeah. Cameroon lost to Mexico 1-0, and then you have Chile against Australia.
Yep. Okay, Chile, Australia,
to start about a half an hour.
Yeah. Well, listen, that's huge in the World Cup. I mean, it might not be big in the U.S., but let me tell you right now, in the rest of the world, they're going crazy that Spain has lost. It's like the Spurs losing to the Bobcats in the first. I mean, the Heat losing to the Bobcats in the first round. That'd be the perfect analogy, right? I would basically say that. I mean, that's. I mean, let's be fair to the Netherlands; they're better than the Bobcats, but it's that.
But the
type
way
of,
they
you know,
lost, the way Spain
yeah,
lost,
yeah,
the way the Netherlands
yeah,
gave it to them 5-1.
Yeah, you could see, like you said, it could be 2-1, but 5-1. Wow.
Yeah,
they
put it on them.
Well, tonight. Can the New York Rangers stay alive one more game? Game 5 in the Stanley Cup Finals. This is big. The LA Kings are trying to wrap it up at home and would win the series 4-1. They tip off at 8 o'clock. What do you think the Rangers can do? Because I think they got a little mojo and a little confidence winning that last game, and they've played well in L.A., do you think they can sort of cut down on the mistakes. If they get a lead, can they hold it?
You could argue the Rangers could have won the first two games. Not you could argue. I mean, both games went to overtime.
Yeah.
Both games they were up 2-0. So they could have easily won the first two games. They have to score, and they have to put pressure on L.A. because L.A.'s been the more aggressive teams, and they're putting the puck on Henrik Lundqvist. Now, Henrik Lundqvist, even though
he's
down 3-1, he's been the best player in this whole series to me because the Kings have
been working so
hard, peppering him.
So many shots
and
on
yet,
goal.
He's given the Rangers a chance. He's given the Rangers a chance in every game except that one game, you know, to win, not to be in the game, but to win the game. So, Rangers have to be aggressive. Rangers have to do in games 1 and 2 what they did, which is allow their speed to help them get odd man rushes.
Nash
and
St. Louis.
Score.
I mean, these guys got to score. They got to be aggressive. It's
my pick,
on NBC, too.
My pick is
I'm going to go with the Rangers.
And really, I'm going with the Kings.
Ooh.
The Kings sealed the deal tonight, 8 o'clock.
So you're going for the weekend. You're going, we're done with winter sports playoffs, basically.
Done.
Friday
done.
And
Monday,
then Sunday, the Kings
focus
and Spurs,
baseball,
both.
World Cup and the NBA draft.
Amen to that. So, Rays go. You know what? And you know what's so funny? I got to tell you, I'm fighting for the winter sports to stay alive. I'm going to go with the Rangers and Heat. I'm going with the underdogs to keep hope alive, keep things going, you know, make everybody feel good about themselves that they still got a – you're saying I still got a chance, you know? I mean, that's all you want is a chance, baby.
Yep.
You know, you got to keep playing. So we'll see how that all works out. Let's come back with a little bit of stuff in the MLB and some NFL. Ray and Tay.
We're back. We're back to wrap up the show before the weekend. So let's quickly run through what we've got in the world of baseball.
I got to ask you, are you ready for Hard Knocks? Because the Atlanta Falcons are ready. They kind of volunteered, and no Cleveland Browns, no, you know, Jaguars. It's the Atlanta Falcons on Hard Knocks. Should be interesting. Steven Jackson tweeted out he's ready. What do you think? I mean, obviously they lost bad injury. Witherspoon, their linebacker, maybe their best linebacker, is out for the season already. This team was cursed with injuries last year. Do you think the Falcons, you know, they did add some players in the offensive and defensive line. Do you think that they're ready? Did they do enough? And will they be good for Hard Knocks? 3 out of the last 4 teams on Hard Knocks made the playoffs, by the way, too.
So I don't know what happened to Atlanta last year. I had them going to the playoffs, so they just completely
shocked
disappointed.
Us.
I think they're actually a boring team as in terms of a DNA. So I don't know how good this Hard Knocks will be. They've got veterans, and they kind of know what they're doing. So I don't know that there'll be any juicy controversy. But I'll still watch because it's fun, and I love football, and I can't get enough of it. In terms of can they make the playoffs, I tell you what, I think that division is going to be turned on its head. So I think the Carolina Panthers might go from worst to from first to worst.
First to worst, yeah.
I think the Tampa Bay might finish ahead of Carolina, and I believe the Falcons have a chance. Well, I think the Saints are going to win it, right? I think the Saints are going to win that.
Yeah, I think they're going to win that.
So the question is, who comes in second between – if Carolina comes in fourth, who comes in second between Tampa and Atlanta? So I do think Atlanta has a chance to potentially go 10-6, 9-7, and come in second in that division. So
you know, it's just so hard because
do,
there's so many strong teams. There's so many strong teams in the NFC, so the Falcons are probably going to be fighting for a wild card against – the NFC North, the NFC West. It might be impossible for them to, you know, really get a second, let alone a third team in the playoffs from the NFC South, you know?
No,
it's really difficult.
Right.
I mean, the Lions are improved.
Right.
The Bears are improved. You still got the Packers, let alone the Cardinals, Seahawks, and Niners. Oof. NFC is loaded. I think right now the balance in the NFC is a little bit – it's just way deeper than AFC. AFC, you're trying to find 6-7 good teams. NFC,
except
you got like 10.
Except the AFC has Brady and Manning, though. So one of them will appear in the Super Bowl until further notice.
Basically. Well, your boy got suspended, Manny Machado, 5 games, which is what I said, between 3 and 6 would probably happen. You feel good about that, and do you think
Yeah, you can't throw your
baseball.
Bat. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
That's dangerous. That's dangerous for players, for fans, for umps, base runners. You can't throw your bat. So, yeah, I think that's an appropriate 5 games is about right.
Yeah, definitely about right. It looks like your boy Clowney in football real quick. Clowney had some surgery, so hopefully
he's
going to
–
Yeah, yeah, he'll
be
ready.
For camp, so he's all good. Sports hernia.
Wow. These young guys, man. It shows you how football is such a, you know, such a rough game. I think right now with baseball, we're starting to, you know, get into the time where everybody's getting ready for the All-Star game. Then you'll see, you know, some rosters get adjusted and then teams start to pull away and then the push for the last part of the season. Right now are there any surprises? Are you seeing anything that's like, you know, obviously, you know, we were shocked about the Rays dropping off so bad. You know, the Tigers are still, Brewers, all these teams are still doing pretty good. Anything that's sort of sticking out
to
you?
Well, I'm disappointed again in the Washington Nationals, so maybe I need to just get off that bandwagon eventually. I mean, they're 35-30, but they should be better than that. The Giants, I have to tip my hat off to the Giants. They now have the best record in baseball. Every other year they win a championship. So I really thought that they just didn't have what they needed this year. But
I guess the way they do it
every other year is they win themselves a championship last you know, 4 or 5 years. So
it is impressive.
The biggest surprise to me, yeah, as a team is San Francisco. I think Toronto, you know, winning those 11 in a row that they won was pretty surprising to me.
I'd be surprised now
sure
if they lose the
legit.
American League East. I'd be surprised if they lost the American League East, though. I think that they've got a good cushion, and they seem to be healthy enough, and they're pitching good enough. And the guys are playing
right.
Most of their baseball cards.
You might be right, but I think they're going to come back to earth. I still think Toronto's not legit, but I could be wrong on that.
I've got something to warm your heart. This was pretty interesting to me and a good way for us to go out. Jimmy Rollins passed Michael Jack Schmidt in all-time hits as a Philly. That's pretty impressive.
Wow, because you never
you
think
believe
of
that?
Jimmy Rollins as a full-time Philly great, but I guess his numbers are... proving that out. I mean, he's no Jack
he's
Schmidt.
Been,
Michael
yeah,
Jack
yeah, Michael,
Schmidt.
Jack
right?
Schmidt, yo. Mike
that's
Schmidt,
funny.
Yo. That's,
My,
isn't
he's
that
no
something?
Mike Schmidt, but good for him. And he's had an up and down tumultuous last three seasons there in Philly. So they wanted to get rid of him. They wanted to, you know, think he makes too much money. So good for him, though. Wow. That does warm my heart, and it caught me by surprise.
Definitely. So I think we have a caller here before we wrap up the show. Let's see.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay. Caller? Yeah, well, maybe
you're
caller's
on live.
Just listening in.
Yeah,
so.
That's all right. So, listen, great show. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And you know, good weekend. I'm excited. You know, the dad, I'll be spending some time with my boys. And
be a father to your child.
Be a father to your child.
Enjoy
Father's
Day.
Say that to your boy DMX. Yeah, man. Well, listen, throw it on the record. Ray, Kings and Spurs. Tay is going with the Rangers and the Heat. Come on, LeBron. Wake up. Let's go. You got to give me 40, 10, and 10. Great show. And,
great show.
We'll
have
be
a great
back.
Sports weekend. We'll be back
definitely.
On Monday.
Yep, back on Monday. Ray and Tay today. Talking sports with friends.